My wife and I eat at the Hy-Vee Market Grill quite often. It's a delightful little sit-down restaurant Hy-Vee's developed. If you haven't eaten at one before, there's one right down here in Mission at the Hy-Vee. I highly encourage you to go there for lunch today. They have good food. We go quite often to the one over by our house because it's good food and it's good service, and it's usually we can walk right in and get a seat. And they have several TV screens on the walls around the restaurant that play various sporting events. Usually the Royals are on, or basketball or football. But now at this time of the year, a lot of the sports are ending. Basketball is getting ready to be done. Football, of course, is on hiatus until the fall. And if there's not a good Royals game on, other sports tend to get onto the TVs there at the Market Grill. Last couple weeks, I've been seeing several reruns of the NCAA Division I women's softball regionals. The other day, we went to grab a quick bite, and I'm sitting there, and I glance up at the TV that's in my view. And on it was the NCAA Women's National Bowling Championships. I was mesmerized. It was an epic battle between the University of Nebraska. There is no place like Nebraska, good old Nebraska, you. And the upstart Davids in this Goliathian match, the McKendree University Bearcats. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, McKendree University, well, I've not heard of this powerhouse. It's because it's this tiny little school of 3,000 students in Lebanon, Illinois. But here they were going up against the University of Nebraska, 51,000 students. And it was like the plot of the movie Hoosiers playing out right there in a bowling alley. It was epic. Every round, McKendree was smoking the Cornhuskers. McKendree had this one girl. She had support tape on her knee. I don't know what injury she suffered while bowling. But she had that tape you stretch and you put on that kind of holds them. So she had the tape on her knee, and she would get out to bowl, and every time, this was her stance. She was the only girl that did this. She would line up with the ball, and she would stick her arm out like this. And it would stay there. Upon her approach, I think it was counterbalance is what she was doing. But make no doubt about it, she was a stone-cold killer. She threw strike after strike with that arm sticking out there and that tape on her knee. She was an assassin. She hit strike at Nebraska would pull within a few pins or even squeak ahead, and then this bowling ninja would come up and just mow him down. She was a beast in bowling shoes. I couldn't take my eyes off of this. My wife and daughter noticed because I wasn't participating in the conversation, and they asked, "Why are you watching bowling? You don't bowl." Here's what I saw. This is what fascinated me. Somewhere in these girls' lives, somewhere before, in elementary school or junior high or high school, somebody in their life, a parent, a grandparent, probably an uncle, because we all have that one uncle that has his own ball and shoes. Someone in their lives said to them, "Hey, let's go bowling." And that moment, that decision to introduce this kid to this weird sport full of disco lighting and beer nachos changed their lives forever. These girls, there were about eight girls on each team. They looked like normal college students, Generation Y, latte-loving, UGG-wearing, phone-obsessed college students. Except on this day, they were on national television bowling for a national championship, all because somewhere in their path, somebody in their life said, hey, let's go bowling. Let's go try this. As I mentioned earlier, I'm gearing up for camp this week. I've been in the Kansas City region since 2000. I have served at Tall Oaks at church camp every summer. It's my 18th year going out to church camp. Every church I've been at, every church that I've served, this has been a part of my ministry, going out to camp. My office right now, if you walk into it, is full of camp stuff. I've got lessons I've been putting together and activities and games. There's hula hoops. And the other day I walked into the Dollar Tree and I bought 25 pool noodles. The lady behind me in line said, why would you buy 25 pool noodles? And I said, what you don't understand, ma'am, is from my perspective, I don't understand why you wouldn't. My office is full of this stuff right now. My car is full of this stuff. We've been trying to gather up furniture for our interim Tall Oaks director. We have an interim director hired for the summer, but she came, because she's only interim, she didn't move here, so we needed furniture to supply for her to be there. I had a recliner I was going to donate. My wife last week texted me, and she said, hey, they're looking for furniture for the interim director. And I said, yes, I know this. And she said, I want to give them that recliner. And I said, that recliner of mine that you don't like. And she said, yes. Okay. She said, can you put it in your car and take it out when you go to camp? And I said, no. I don't have any room in my car. It's full of camp. We had to have somebody else come get it. That's what camp does. It fills my life. My first year at Merriam, as I was gearing up to go to camp that summer, the very first summer I'd been here, a church member came up and asked me, they said, so do you take vacation time when you're gone to camp? I was flummoxed. I said, let me tell you a little secret. I work harder at camp than I do here. Camp is exhausting. It's 24 hours a day, the entire time I'm there. This week, I'm going to be responsible for 22 second and third graders. Those are 8 and 9 year olds, if you're trying to do the math in your head. Their parents are trusting me to take care of their children. They're trusting my staff to provide for their children, to help them grow a little bit this week in their faith. Tall Oaks is trusting me and my staff to watch over and care for these kids in their good name. 24 hours a day for 3 days this week, I'm going to be on alert and on the go, driving my staff to do a good job. It's hard work, and when it's done, I need some vacation time. I actually tried not to direct this year. I'm going to be counseling at the second primary camp. I'm going to be helping them as their chaplain. But I tried not to direct. I'm always of the mindset that we need to get more people involved in camp. And so I'm all for finding new people to direct. And we found some new people this year, and unfortunately, one of them had some personal issues, had to step back from doing camp, and it kind of fell into my lap to do primary one. And as I said, this is a camp for second and third graders. It's held out at Tall Oaks. That's our campsite. For those of you who don't know, we have a 350-acre camp and conference center out just past Bonner Springs, Kansas. Tall Oaks is owned and operated by our region. And our camping program is a part of that. Whenever I ask you folks for donations to regional ministry and you wonder to yourselves, well, what does regional ministry do? Tall Oaks is one of the biggest things that regional ministry does. This summer, there will be over 600 kids that attend our church camps. In addition to the hundreds of kids who attend our other special camps that we have out there for muscular dystrophy or autism or diabetes or on and on and on. These kids' summers won't just be changed by this moment at camp. Their lives will be changed. Studies show us that kids who attend church camp are far more likely to continue being a part of church and faith and all of this when they become adults. I went to church camp as a high school youth for 4 years at the old Circle C and Elbar C camps that were run by the Kansas City Youth for Christ. I don't know where those, I think they're out near Ottawa somewhere. I don't remember where they were, but it was at these camps where I first experienced that joyous, contagious faith that praised God and fortified conviction. It's the first place that I explored the idea of being a minister. I was 16 years old and could feel God calling me into ministry. It would be 15 years before I came back, but it was at that church camp where that seed was planted. When you look around our region, numerous churches in our region are led by ministers who grew up in the Tall Oaks Camp and Conference program. Laura Phillips, who just became the acting senior minister at Overland Park Christian Church, grew up in our camps. Ryan Motter and Suzanne Motter, who serve at Community Christian Church, grew up in our camps. These camps that we go to and that we support and that we provide influence lives. They are making ministers at our church camps. All because folks said, you know, let's send the kid to camp. When my parents did it, you know, they put up the money to send me, and it wasn't cheap. I was one of four kids. My church helped. They paid half of the fee for me to go. Because my church believed that it was important to train up children in the way that they should go. That's what Proverbs tells us this morning. Train up children in the right way. When they're old, they will not stray. We do the same thing here at Merriam. If a kid wants to go to camp, we believe that it's important enough that we're going to have a hand in that. We pay half of the camp fee for any kid that wants to go to camp. We've even taken some of our camp funds and given them to Tall Oaks directly so they can use them to send kids from other churches to camp. Because this matters. A child who goes to camp and learns about God and explores their relationship with God and works on their walk with God continues on this path when they're an adult. When we send a kid to camp, we're not just giving mom and dad a couple days off. We aren't just giving the kid something to do that doesn't require a battery pack and a game guide. We're introducing kids to a time just for God in their lives. While at camp, kids engage in lessons and activities, and they hear stories, and they worship together, and we have morning devotions together, we pray together, and I tell you, there is nothing more powerful and spiritual in this world than a second grader, an eight-year-old, standing up in front of his peers and saying, "Bow your heads with me." And this all happens because someone says to these kids, "Let's go to camp." So what does this matter to you? Most of you are not sending a kid to camp this summer. So what does it matter? It matters because you can still have an impact on kids. You can still have an impact on camp. You can still have an impact on our faith together through this moment. What can you do? You can tell people about camp. Tell your grandkids and their kids. Tell your neighbors. Tell your friends. Find kids to send to camp. If you come to me and say, "I found a kid. I want to send them to camp," we're going to pay half for them to go. You can donate to our camp fund or to the Tall Oaks Camp Fund. These send kids to camp every year. We pay half of their fee, and the Tall Oaks Fund helps other kids who need more than that to get to camp. And most importantly, you can pray. You can pray for the Tall Oaks staff who provide this amazing, wonderful environment for our kids. You can pray for the camp staffs. I'm taking six counselors and an assistant director and a chaplain to camp with me this week. 8 adults who've given up their time. Many of them have had to take vacation time from their regular jobs or not get paid for these 3 days while they're at camp. You can pray for those volunteers, people like Alan Watts and Francis Schaefer and Emily Hooker, who have all counseled with me at camp. This year, my assistant director is Eva Roebuck, a young lady that grew up in this church, learned her faith here. And she comes back every summer now to counsel at camp. You can pray for the parents who are going to let their kids go, who send them hoping this is going to be that great experience, hoping their kids are going to have an amazing time. And most importantly, you can pray for the kids, that they will go and find a place where they can be themselves, where they can be with God, where they can dwell in their faith, where they can find a place where they learn about God and follow God and explore what it means to walk this life with God. The McKendree University Bearcats, representing a school of 2,917 students, a school that has never in its history won a national championship in any sport, defeated the mighty Cornhuskers of Nebraska, a school that's won a few championships, if I remember right. They knocked them out in 4 straight matches. And just like that, that little girl that some mom or dad or crazy uncle first introduced to bowling as something fun to do, just like that, that kid that grew up and took that moment and rode that moment, just like that, she was a national champion. And her life was never going to be the same. And that is why we do camp. Amen.